Hello and welcome to the On the Terraces podcast with me, Oren.
And I'm Arjun.
And so this is the new football podcast by the fans for the fans. So Arj, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. I just wanted to quickly give just a quick brief on why me and Aaron are first cousins. We call each other brothers. We've been football fans just like everyone else since we've been little boys, and we wanted to be a bit of a different voice. Obviously our heritage, British Asian, don't hear too many British Asian fans in the media. With everything going on, we wanted to be the representation for that. Thoughts, Aaron?
Yeah, I mean, we're massive football fans and we have a lot of opinions on the game, and what better way to share it with you guys out there? So yeah, let's talk football. I'm just gonna go over the results of the Premier League this weekend. So
we have to do this, Aaron?
Well, yeah, mate, I don't want to do it, but we've got to do it. We'll start with lunchtime yesterday. Southampton Chelsea 1-1 draw. Not a bad result for Southampton, but we'll go into it in a minute. Burnley 0-0, little kind of relegation, 6-pointer there. Sorry about this. Liverpool 0, Everton 2. Moving swiftly on, Fulham 1, Sheffield United 0.
Good result for Fulham. Good result.
Today, West Ham beat Tottenham in what was quite a good game, but
the best game of the day today.
Yeah, I think you're right. Aston Villa 1, Leicester 2, Arsenal 0, Man City 1, which was actually quite a good game.
That's a result for Arsenal, isn't it?
I thought Arsenal played well. They started terribly, but they played all right in the end.
Because of City's form, I think everyone thought they'd get blown away. So fair play to Mikel Arteta and the boys in on Holloway Road. They did well.
the last game of the day, I don't really want to talk about it, but
I'll announce this one, shall I?
Announce it, mate.
It was Manchester United 3, which hurts me, and Newcastle 1, which hurts Aaron.
Wait. You pronounced it wrong, mate. Why does everyone always say Newcastle? It's Newcastle United. There's not just one United in the league. I'm sick of it, mate.
Sorry.
Jermaine Jean has played for Newcastle United. All game, Newcastle.
Let's not remind him of that.
Jermaine, if you're listening.
Well, I'm pretty sure he's not. It's our first one. I think it's just me and you listening to this one, mate.
Yeah, that's the thing. We don't know who's going to listen. If you're listening and you want to sponsor our podcast and have your logo on here, then feel free. We both like food, so if you're a takeaway place, then great, do that as well.
As you can see, we're inundated with sponsors right now. Please follow us on Twitter, Instagram. What's our little tag, Aaron?
It's the OTT pod. You can also type in On the Terraces podcast, you will be able to find us. Let's move on. You're not going to like this one, but we've got to talk about it.
Well, let's do it. I mean, where else to start, really?
So, what is wrong at Liverpool? There's a lot going on with Liverpool. Their title defence, is non-existent, really. What is it? 19 points behind City at the moment.
I believe so. I mean, is this the worst title defence in history?
It could be. I mean.
Is it the worst? Do we know this?
I was about to say the only one that I can remember in my living memory that could be on par is Leicester's. Was Leicester's that bad the year after?
Probably. I don't think it was this bad. It'll be interesting to check that. And I think for next week we will have that. We will have the answer to that. If you find out before, please let us know. But we will discuss that next week. That's a good topic.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. I mean, what is wrong at Liverpool? There is a long list here, Aaron. We can talk about everyone who doesn't personally know me. Now I'm a Liverpool fan, so I am going to represent the fan base at the moment and on here. But I think when you have such an injury crisis as we are having, I mean, we saw it. Look, with Man City, when we won the league, when we came second, you could see when Laporte was injured, there was a massive, massive gap between the communication between the goalkeeper and the midfielder. We all know that the defence has to be solid. And when you're changing centre-backs and changing the partnership 17 times, different 17 different centre-back partnerships. I mean, how can anyone expect Liverpool to be the monster that they are? Let's forget the attacking for a minute. Let's forget the attacking for a minute. Because a title defence, it says it in the name. Defence. Yeah. We haven't defended. It's our fault. Sorry, go on, Aaron.
So I want to talk about defence first. So, you know, looking back on Liverpool the last couple of years, you know, when they've started to play, you know, this Liverpool brand of football under Klopp, they've won the Champions League, they've won the league. They've had, you know, four very good centre-backs. They've had Van Dijk, Gomez, Lovren and Matip, right?
Yep.
And any one of those players could start in that team and you'd be happy. As a Liverpool fan, you'd be happy that they're in the team. Probably not Lovren as much.
I knew you were going to go there. I'm going to stop you there. If Lovren was in that team now,
yeah,
I would be comfortable with him and Kabak. That might be something Liverpool fans probably will be screaming at me, because we were all, and I was one of them, as you know. Well done, goodbye. But you've got to remember the service that he provided. And also, we all know he's arrogant in saying that he was one of the best centre-backs in the world. But when you're a sportsman, you have to have that arrogance. So I'm not going to rate him on that. But his work at Liverpool was actually quite good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't mind that level of arrogance. You know, he was a good defender. He's won a Champions League. He's won a Premier League. But
he's played in two finals.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, he's done a lot for the team. He's been there a long time. And
World Cup final.
Yeah, exactly. He's a good defender. And you know, it probably was the right time for him to leave. But the problem that Liverpool did, they did not replace him.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
They're suffering from that at this moment in time.
I don't think we're suffering from not replacing Lovren. I think we're suffering from not building our squad in depth. Our owners, for example.
Yeah.
Our owners, and now I'm not going to talk about owners at Liverpool because of my personal view, but what I will say is they work by the business model, the model that works. Klopp, Mickey Edwards at Liverpool is doing, and Klopp are doing a wonderful. There is one of the best jobs I've ever seen in football, and that's not just because I'm a Liverpool fan and I'm experiencing it, because this year it hasn't been. But the recruitment from the minute Mickey Edwards became what he has become, and built this model that the SSG have giving them the space and the money to do, that doesn't mean that we go chucking money every season. So they've got a model that they follow. Now, when you win a league title, I think sometimes, that business model just needs to go for the next season. Then you can revisit it. Because Ferguson at Manchester United, he always added, whether it was one or two players, he always added after, and that's what kept them, but he kept the mainstream. Our mainstream squad are absolutely shattered.
Yeah, but that's what I'm trying to say. When you had four very good centre-back options, you've let Lovren go. You've now only got three centre-back options.
Yeah, you're going to...
And then you
injury day.
But then you have an injury crisis. You can deal with one or two injuries. But what I'm saying is, when you're the champions of England, when you're defending a title, there should always be four first team centre backs. And I think that should be for any Premier League team, not just the champions of England. And I think, yes, let's allow Lovren to leave, but there should have been a ready-made replacement ready to sign. And I think that's where they, you know, that's where they've gone wrong.
To stick up for Klopp, obviously knows this football a lot more than me and you, Aaron. I'm afraid to say, but I am going to stick up for him. He promoted Rhys Williams and Phillips through the ranks. Now, when we, obviously, again, being a Liverpool fan, I'm going to speak about this in depth, and I'll have passion and have the knowledge on it. But when Liverpool and Klopp let, for example, Lovren go, the reason why they did, it was the right time, I agree, it was the right time for him to go. Yep. Just like Lallana. Right time for them both.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Natty Phillips, he was actually close to leaving this summer. He was very, very, very close to leaving. And Klopp and his staff stopped that. So they're watching these two young chaps building their careers, breaking into the first team. And so he's given his trust. So there's that replacement. He's actually replacing Lovren with two very good prospects. Now, he doesn't expect that Van Dijk would be assaulted at Goodison Park, because it was an assault. And I'm just going to say, I didn't like Alisson having a nice laugh at the end of the game yesterday with Pickford, rubbing salt in the wounds. And Aaron, if you haven't seen that, I think we should put it up somewhere and just be like, but you know, we can discuss that.
A bit like Steve Bruce laughing with Solskjaer after we've just been up 3-1. I don't like that at all.
What do fans think? Why do we should put that out? Let's put that out
we'll put it out, mate,
for the week, so we can hear people's views on that.
Your
team's manager or players either laughing or interacting after a heavy defeat, especially when we're in the way we are. So, right, as I was saying, he's replaced Lovren with two very good centre backs. He didn't expect Van Dijk to get assaulted. Joey Gomez, that was just unfortunate.
Very unfortunate.
God bless Joel Matip, and I really hope he pulls through all these injury crises. But he, and dependency on him, stay fit. Well, he's like a packet of crisps. He crumbles every time. So unfortunate. That's where we are. You wanted to point out the front three, didn't you?
Well, before we move on to that, what are your thoughts on Kabak? He's played what, two or three games?
Three
yellow cards. I did notice that. I thought he looked very assured against Leipzig.
So did I.
Potentially, Leipzig didn't really trouble Liverpool as we thought they might have done. He looked a little bit shaky yesterday, but it is a derby game. It is his first taste of that, so you can't be too harsh on him. But he looks a decent player, doesn't he?
I mean, I do like the kid. And that's exactly what he is. He's a kid.
He's 19, isn't he?
You're playing at Anfield. He's lucky that there's no crowd there. Because mistakes were made, he'd be on the back. But then that pushes players. I don't know. Look, it was a sensible option to get him in.
Yep.
With the options that I'm sure we didn't have. We can always discuss why Liverpool left at the last minute, but we won't. I agree with you. Leipzig, I thought that was his best game in a red shirt, albeit being three.
It was 100%.
They're coming thick and fast. By the end of May, it might be his 50th game for Liverpool. I think there's a good player in there. He needs a summer, and he needs a pre-season with the boys, with Van Dijk, training with him. There's a good player in him.
Yeah, absolutely. He does look good, and yeah, let's see what happens. Let's talk about the front three then. It's a very trusted front three. It's the front three that's won you the title. In the summer, Klopp brings in Diego Jota to add a bit of firepower to this this front three. Unfortunately, you know, I mean, Diego Jota scored a lot of goals in a short space of time. Unfortunately, then gets injured.
Can we discuss what game he got injured in? I can tell you. Mitchell, we'd already progressed, and he got injured in the game against Mitchelland. What was the bloody point? That's the only issue I have with Klopp playing him in that. Sorry,
yeah,
carry on.
Yeah, yeah. For me, Sadio Mane had one of his worst games in Liverpool shirt yesterday. I thought he was terrible. Salah continues to frustrate me, but the problem with Salah is, out of nowhere, he'll come out with something absolutely fantastic, and you forget about the times where he's given away the ball or he's shot one into Rosehead. And Bobby Firmino works so hard that you can't really say anything bad about him. But you know, he probably doesn't score the goals that you want him to, but he does a lot more, so that's fine. But when this front three isn't functioning, as we know they're not at the moment, there's no real option. I mean, Divock Origi, he's not that same player that scored the goals against Barcelona and Spurs in the Champions League. You know, I think I heard that his last goal coming off the bench was in the Champions League final. That's over a season ago now.
What you're saying is absolutely right, and I'm actually struggling to disagree with everything you're saying. I'm going to go to the point of Bobby first.
Yeah, let's talk about Bobby.
Now, we all know that I would like to call my son Bobby whenever I have a child. I'm a big fan of his work. I have this conversation with my friends, Chelsea season ticket holders, Tottenham season ticket holders, West Ham season ticket holders. You know, we're all part of a group that we discuss our season ticket holders. You with your Newcastle, you know, it's always a point about Bobby. There's always something to talk about Bobby. Bobby's for me is great at what he does, and what he does, you have to be at the game to see it. You can't see it on a game on a TV, which we're all
doesn't he? Does a lot off the ball.
It's all off the ball. When the team are not doing well like they are now, the team's attacking side needs a scapegoat, and I do think sometimes he is the scapegoat, and it's not fair on him. I mean, look, here's an example. This is the most recent example I can give. The two last games we played, barring Everton, which I'm still licking my wounds over. Leipzig, him and Curtis Jones were man of the match.
I can't disagree with that.
Up until the 70th minute against Leicester, he was also man of the match for me, Bobby. And his assist showed everything. For me, I don't mind if he's not scoring the goals, as long as Salah and Mane are. Because he's assisting, and he is the reason why they have so much space. However, teams have worked Liverpool out now. That 4-4-3 system is dead. They're gone. That's gone.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on that as well. For me, when Liverpool aren't playing well, and you know, we know they're not playing well at the moment, there doesn't seem to be another system or another way to play for Liverpool.
He has tried it. He plays the 4-2-3-1, because obviously we need people on the wings. That's the Liverpool way. There's always people. John Barnes, you know, we can go all the way back to where before I was born. Kevin Keegan, King Kenny,
Stevie Highway.
We sing a song about him. Yeah. So wingers are a big part of Liverpool's foundation. Yeah. They're a big part of the way they play. In this current day, our wingers are the best in the world.
Yeah.
Mane is still one of the best in the world. He is very inconsistent, Mane.
Yeah. I think the front three are just tired. I think they look tired. Yeah.
The whole team are. You can't. Yeah. They've played together for three seasons at such a high tempo. You can't expect them to to be at the level now. Moving on from Liverpool, but before we do, I would like to hear from you. Where do Liverpool finish?
That's a very good question.
Do they win anything? Now, remember, they're still in Europe, and Liverpool in Europe, you can never write off.
Yeah, it's funny. Looking at the Leipzig performance, I fancy them in Europe. There's something about Liverpool in Europe.
But they
have to be careful, because if those performances that they have in the Premier League start to seep in to their European performances, they'll be knocked out soon, right?
So thank you for that. Thank you, Aaron.
But what I'm saying is, you know, Leipzig didn't really test Liverpool. You know, if Leipzig come to Anfield,
they missed the trick.
Yeah. If Leipzig come to Anfield, they've got nothing to lose. They completely go for it. For a team that's not in form at Anfield, they've lost four on the bounce for the first time since 1923. You know, then you're suddenly out of the
Champions League. I knew you were going to just be slip that in somewhere.
I had to drop it in.
No, I knew you were. I knew you were.
But mate, as a Newcastle fan, I feel like we haven't won at home since 2001. So, if Leipzig go for it, you know, they've got nothing to lose. And then say they win, they're not Liverpool out. Then what?
Let's hope it's at a neutral venue then, eh?
I think Liverpool will be trying to claim that one.
Where did Liverpool finish, Aaron?
In the league. I think they'll sneak fourth.
Aaron thinks fourth. I think Liverpool finish fifth and win the Champions League. Let's put this out again as another one through the week.
Yep.
Where will Liverpool finish and what will they win?
Yep. Good. So let's move on now. Let's talk about relegation. So
this is where you.
Yeah, this is my expertise. So West Brom and Sheffield United, have they got too much to do?
Oh, that's a question, isn't it, Aaron? Let me lead this one. What do you think? Do you think West Brom and Sheffield United have got something in them? You've got Sam Allardyce at West Brom, which I thought is a good. Any football fan who knows Sam Allardyce, this football, knows that's a good appointment. Has he got too much to do?
It's a good appointment in the fact that he's never been relegated, and he does. He knows how to get out of these situations. He organises your team to basically be hard to beat. So it's a very good appointment. However, it just hasn't really worked for them. You know, the results haven't been where they need to be because they're quite a fair way off from the in safe.
What points are they on now? Can we get that live? Let me have a little look.
Yeah, I've got it here, mate. I've got it here.
Where are West Brom in the league? So Sheffield
United rooted on 11 points, and right. West Brom are 14 points. So West Brom are 11 points off safety with 13 games to play, and Sheffield United are 14 games from safety with 13 games to play.
I mean,
mathematically it is possible, but for me,
mathematically that is possible.
Yeah, but for me, and yesterday's a prime example. West Brom are playing Burnley. Burnley are 2 points off, 4 points off the relegation zone. So they're in there.
Yeah,
and it's 0-0. You know, I think both teams don't. They both don't want to lose that game, so they're not really going for it. 0-0. Sheffield United are playing Fulham. That's a relegation 6 point. They're both in the relegation zone, and Fulham go and nick it 1-0. So for me, West Brom and Sheffield United don't have that form, but there's 13 games left. They might get that form.
So West Brom maybe, but do you think Sheffield United can the Great Escape?
For me, no, because just looking at their team, they're not really playing well, and I don't think they have the attackers that I don't think they're going to get the goals to stay up. I can't see where the goal's coming from.
Okay. I think just touching to the West Brom, I think what Sheffield United are gone. They're gone. For me, they're done. I said to you a couple of weeks ago, I fancy Sheffield United to bounce back. And they did bounce back a little bit. And their performances have been good. They have been good. They've not been the worst. It's not been the worst relegation team. I think for me personally, it was that Derby team.
Sheffield United are only 1 point off that record. So I suspect they'll go past that 12
point. I think they'll hit at least 20 points this year. Definitely. They've got three wins in them. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think they're right. I think you're right.
It's just annoying for them that they've already played us at home, because if they turned up now, I think they'll do us.
Newcastle did give them their first win of the season. So, yeah. You know, if you want your first win of the season or you're out of form, just play Newcastle, you know.
Or Liverpool at Anfield.
Yeah, or Liverpool at Anfield.
Yeah. So, no, I think Sheffield United are done. West Brom, it's a tough one, isn't it, with West Brom? Because Big Sam, you just never know with Big Sam. You said, look, they are, how many points are they away from you and Brighton? They are 11 points away from you, 12 points away from Brighton. Right, here's a question. In the next 13 games, can you confidently say Brighton are going to lose four games? Yes.
Brighton are very inconsistent. Very, very inconsistent.
Newcastle, are they going to lose four games? Yes.
Yeah.
They will. And that's because of you, or because of my affiliation. Because I've got a very good affiliation with Newcastle. Fans as well. Great fans. Best fans in the league, in my opinion. But your squad and your team should do much more better than they are. And I don't think you can put it all down to Steve Bruce. You know my opinions on Steve Bruce. I thought it was a good appointment when he came, and it proved you wrong, because it was for the first season. I understand Newcastle's frustrations, but those frustrations have been there for years. For years. And we all know the situation with Mike Ashley, and we all know how much he wants to leave, you want to leave. You're a divorce waiting to happen.
Yeah, I just hope it happens soon.
I know. So, look, you think Brighton and Newcastle will drop four games worth of points? Yes. Will West Brom win four games to catch that up?
No. I'll tell you what's a big game coming up is, not next game, but the game after, Newcastle play West Brom at the Hawthorns.
And what's that on, Sky Sports or BT?
I have no idea.
Well, let's find out, and then we can tag them into this.
So, yeah, I think it's hard for West Brom. I think it will be another kind of great escape for them.
It would be a great escape. Yeah.
Allardyce has brought in the January transfer window the striker Diagne, I think his name. I'll probably pronounce it wrong. You know, if there's any people from Diagne's home country, you're listening to us, and just tell me how to pronounce it, because I think I'm pronouncing it wrong. Anyway, he's come in and he scored a few important goals, so that could be the signing that kind of propels them. But I still think they've got too much to do.
On talking on that, Fulham did exactly the same. Fulham brought in Josh Madger, wasn't it?
Josh Madger, yeah.
I think he's a wonderful centre forward. It's exactly what they needed.
Yeah, yeah.
It's exactly what we need. So if they want to loan him to us, then absolutely. Because I think he's brilliant. He's strong. His two goals. I was talking again to a Chelsea fan who were discussing strikers who score goals within the box. His first two goals were proper centre forward goals.
I've been a fan of Josh Madger's for about a year now, ever since he was on Sun Until I Die, and he left to go to Bordeaux because he didn't want to play in League One. Right. If you haven't watched Sun Until I Die, it's a comedy series on Netflix. Go check it out.
Well, I should laugh at that. But you know what? I think Sunderland are probably doing a bit better, you're in form-wise, so I think the jokes on you.
Well, they're through to another final at Wembley.
Exactly. You can't snub a day at Wembley.
The Papa John's Trophy.
Yeah, you can't snub a day out at Wembley. I know, and hopefully, I really do hope fans can make that, at least a proportionate of fans, because a day out at Wembley, it doesn't matter whether it. I remember going to the St Johnstone's Paint Trophy with my dad. Wembley was actually quite full for the capacity, and it was a great day out. Obviously,
I have to agree with that. I went to a League One playoff final between Preston and Swindon with a friend of mine, and it was a great day out, to be fair.
So, look, Sunderland fans, I'm not having a dig at you. I really hope you win that trophy, so then I can laugh at Aaron, because then you would have won more trophies than Newcastle have.
But say you scored a winner at Wembley and you get man of the match. What toppings are you getting on your pizza?
that's our cue to move on.
Yeah. So yeah. The relegation battle is going to go on, and we'll talk about it probably every week. Let's see what happens in the next week. Now,
last question then: which out of the bottom half of the league?
Yeah,
I'll ask you again to start with. Maybe you can ask me once in a while, but you can give me your relegation, your last relegation. Who's going to get relegated from the Premier League this season as it stands? We have Sheffield United rooted, West Brom on 14 points, Fulham on 22, Newcastle on 25, Brighton 26. Do we put in Burnley at 28?
Yeah, I think Burnley there. I think that's it. From Palace downwards, yep. they're in that battle. For me, it's Sheffield United gone. West yep. Brom pretty much gone. I can't see them overturning that. So that's two gone. Yep. And I think the third one is out of Fulham, Newcastle. No.
Who's taking that third spot? Not out of
Newcastle, I think, get relegated.
I'm gonna go out there. I think I'm going to say Brighton. One, because Pep Guardiola said that Graham Potter is one of the best English coaches, which I don't disagree with him, but because he said it, I disagree with him. Because Pep said it, because I'm upset with Pep at the moment, because they're playing wonderful football.
I thought Colin Pascoe was one of the best British coaches, mate.
Well, I think Colin Pascoe needs to be given a job. There was a really good article which I sent you on the Athletic. If you haven't got the Athletic app, I, as a big football fan, I suggested it to Aaron. I'm a big advocate of the Athletic. I'm a big advocate of James Pearce and his work, and all of the team there. But there was a good it's good insight on the Athletic. Right. So there was Colin Pascoe hasn't had a job since being sacked from Liverpool.
And that was in 2016, was it? 2015?
Yeah. He got replaced with by... He's Gary Mack.
and Colin Pascoe, I know you're going to be listening to this. Me and Ars, once we can, we're going to come down to your pub.
Yes, absolutely. Right, let's move on. We have Spurs and Mourinho next.
Let's talk about Spurs. Top of the league at the end of November, going into December, they were top. Everyone's
were they top of the league when they came to Anfield, or were we top of the league?
My research doesn't go past that.
my thinking was that we would, I think, a point above them or a couple of points behind. But go on, your point is.
I think you were, because I think if they won, they would have gone top.
Yeah.
I think
that's what it was.
But yeah, they were top in November. Everyone's talking about Spurs are going to win the title. Mourinho's got them going. We now forward on to the 21st of February. They've just played today. They've lost to West Ham. They're now ninth. They're 23 points off top. And let's be honest, they're fighting to finish in the top four. What's gone wrong?
Oh, I mean, Spurs are—they must
frustrate their fans. I know that they've got to think it's a Spursy. It's a Spursy thing to do. Spurs are underperforming in the league. Anyone can see that. They've started to bring in Bale in now a bit more. Who is actually showing why Gareth Bale is being
I mean, if anyone hasn't seen his shot that hit the crossbar earlier, oh my word, just a little bit of quality off that left boot.
I mean, it warranted a goal, didn't it? I was up off my seat. I thought that was in.
I actually screamed like a little girl. I thought it was in top corner.
I can imagine. I've heard that too many times. Where's it going wrong? I don't know. They were top of the league in November. I think Spurs, there's a lot of pressure on at Spurs because of the manager. He's been one of the best, if not the best manager for the past, apart from the last 3 years, up until 2017, best manager in, up there with Fergie. Pep obviously as well, but he was even top of that pile, I think, just for a decade at least. And I'm not even going to say his time at Chelsea, because his time at Chelsea was great. His time at Porto was wonderful. His time at Milan, he made them what Klopp calls us, mentality monsters. In that Inter Milan team, were unbeatable.
That was a good Milan.
When you have someone like that at Spurs, who have everything in place now, there's no excuses. They've got a wonderful training complex.
Yeah.
Everyone has seen the documentary. Who authorised that, I'll never know, but they're obviously paying off the stadium. I think it is now down to the players and the team. I feel sorry for Telly Alli at Spurs. He's a wonderful talent. I don't care who says what. He is such a good footballer.
I have to agree, because Dele Alli, he's one of those attacking midfielders that plays in a 10 role. He arrives late into the box and he times those runs perfectly, scores a lot of goals. Why is he not on this team? I don't understand. He should be on this team.
That we don't see in the training ground. I mean, there's no answer. Spurs fans don't even know, so me and you won't have much.
Yeah, exactly. For me, I mean, Mourinho's a fantastic manager. He's won trophies wherever he's gone. At Man United, they never really mounted a title challenge, but he still won the Europa League and the Carabao Cup, was it? I could be standing to be corrected on that, but he definitely won the Europa League there. Spurs are in the Carabao Cup final at the end of April.
You say Mourinho won the Carabao Cup?
At Man United, I think so.
He did.
Yeah, okay, cool. I know it wasn't the FA Cup, was it?
Rampton.
So, yeah, you're correct, Southampton. Yeah, I remember that now. So Spurs are in the Carabao Cup final in April. So
that's a massive final for them.
Yep. It's against Chelsea, is it? Oh, Man City, is it? Man City.
It could be their fourth in six.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous record, really. But
mental.
They're still in the Europa League, so all is not lost really in this season. But yeah, I mean, I think
they're like Liverpool, aren't they?
Yeah, I think when you have a manager like Mourinho, you know, this is his first full season, right? So
is this his full season?
Yeah, because he Pochettino got sacked last year.
Yes.
So it's his first full season.
I think people forget that, don't they?
Yeah, I think, you know, Mourinho comes with a lot of expectation, and maybe there is a lot of pressure for him to deliver something straight away. But let's be honest, you know, he is trying to build something here. He's not trying to change too much too soon. He does have a lot of centre back issues. I mean, you know, today, Davinson Sanchez and Eric Dier, for me, they don't really start in many Premier League teams. You know, there's a lot of good centre-backs out there. If Alderweireld is fit, he starts for me, right?
Yeah, absolutely, of course.
But what I think Spurs missed a trick is in January, they knew that defence was a particular issue for them, especially at centre back because of injuries. And who did they go out and buy? They go and buy a Championship defender from Swansea, Joe Rodon, who for me does look like a good player, but he's not an answer now. He's not going to start, and he's not a Premier League player at the moment. He does look like he's got potential, and I think, as I was saying to you about Liverpool not replacing Lovren, struggling defensively, Spurs are kind of having the same thing. They're struggling. They're shipping in loads of goals. You know, I've seen a lot on Twitter about Hugo Lloris is not the keeper he once was, and he's a bit of a weak. So when you've got a weak defence and a keeper not in form, a bit like Liverpool as well, you know, there's a lot of similarities there. You know, you're not going to do too well. Also,
sorry, with the goalkeeper, by the way, I still have full faith in Alisson. He's the best in the world.
I mean, currently, he's two or three mistakes in two games doesn't make you a bad keeper. You know, I'm not saying he's a bad keeper at all.
You haven't got a consistent, but you haven't got a consistent defensive front of you either. So, you know, you can't expect Alisson to save it all. Like Hugo Lloris, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. You know, and their Spurs fans are right. Quickly, as I know we're pushing with time, but I do think Spurs are similar to Liverpool. They have centre back issues just like us. They're not many. Also, you've got to remember, Aaron, there's not many centre backs, world class centre backs. Liverpool knew what they needed to do when they were, and I always resort back to Liverpool because I support them. But when we're going through the change, we highlighted we need a new centre back. He brought in Van Dijk. Need a new goalkeeper. Splash the cash. I've never seen Spurs go and splash just to fill. I've never seen it.
Running on a deal
with Gareth Bale, who's not starting.
The whole Bale deal seems to be. It makes me question it a lot because. I mean, he's a fantastic player. We know he is. And he's shown it in glimpses in the Europa League on Thursday today.
Yeah.
But for someone like that, for me, he's got to start every game. He adds a lot to that Tottenham team. You know, if you look at their front three, front four, right, you've got Kane who picks himself. You know, if Kane's fit, you play him. You know, Son as well. He picks himself.
Yeah.
Today he started. The three behind Kane was Son, Lamella, and Moura. For me, Bale and Son have to start behind Kane, and the other one could be Moura, could be Lamella, could be Ndombele.
No, it's Moura. For me, it's Moura.
Yeah, I mean, a fit and informed Moura for me. Yeah, you're right. But even Dele Alli, if you have Son, Dele Alli playing behind Kane and Bale on the wing, that could be probably the best front four in the league on form. Could be.
Well, look, let's go to West Ham quickly because Jesse Lingard, I mean, this will tie into our next topic, which we'll move on to. But today, let's move. In fact, let's move on.
Let's move on. West Ham.
I think Jesse Lingard. Decision to go to West Ham has just saved his career, and I said that to my dad, who supports Man City, and I said to him the day that they signed him, I said, "You watch," and Dele Alli could have done the same and done exactly what Jesse Lingard's done, because I know he's not going to lose his career, but his career is getting dented. Footballers always say that football's such a short career.
If you think about England have got a European Championship this summer. If it goes ahead, there's a European Championship in the summer, right?
Lingard gets in the squad.
Well, let's have a little bit of a debate on that just before we move on to the
team.
But you've got in the 10 position or the attacking midfielders behind the striker. You know, you've got to have a conversation. You've got Lingard, you've got Madison, you've got Barnes, you've got Grealish, you've got Foden, you've got Mason Mount.
Yeah,
we are in a generation or in a era where
the new golden generation for me.
Yeah, but that is potentially in like one or two positions. You know, that's like that's like us when we had Lampard, Scholes, and Gerrard.
Yeah,
in a central midfield battle. Yeah. Also, I haven't mentioned Dele Alli, but a form Dele Alli could easily get into that team.
He's not making the squad, unfortunately.
He won't make the squad because of the game time he's getting at Spurs. That for me, he should have gone out on loan.
I'd be very surprised if he's on that plane.
No, he won't. I can guarantee it. As you said, it'll be very surprising. Lingard, as you said, he's revived his career and he now gives himself the best opportunity to get onto that plane.
Right. He doesn't start for me. I'm just going to clear. He doesn't start. You get Jack Grealish out on the left for me. You put Madison. Or you put Harvey Barnes. You put Harvey Barnes on the left, I think, actually. You put Jack Grealish in. Mason Mount for me is so good. I really like Mason Mount.
But you say Grealish on the left, but what about we haven't even mentioned Sterling or Sancho.
Well, thank God, I'm not Gareth Southgate. Well, but, number one, the waistcoat wouldn't fit me, so I can't be Gareth Southgate.
But if we were Gareth Southgate's gonna pick seven or eight defenders in that lineup anyway, so you know it'll be a very defensive lineup. But anyway, we'll leave the debate for the England team later on down the line. Let's talk the Premier League race for the top four. So, looking at the table, there is 13 points between Man United in second and Spurs in ninth. So it's very congested. Huh?
How many points was that?
13.
13 points from.
I think Man United in second.
Yeah.
To Tottenham in ninth, 13 points.
13 points. That's quite a stretch, isn't it?
So, if you look at the top four at the moment, you've got Man City and Man United occupying one and two, and you've got Leicester and West Ham. If you look at the top six, as everyone calls them, which are your City, United, Chelsea, Liverpool, Tottenham and Arsenal, Chelsea are fifth, Liverpool are sixth, Tottenham is ninth, and Arsenal are tenth. So is this the year where we can definitely see one of the teams outside the top six finish inside the top four? I personally think that Leicester, I've got a very good shout. They look a top team that just have got everything like clicking together.
If Leicester, the only thing I say about Leicester, I've got good ties to Leicester, close ties to Leicester.
Yeah,
the fans won't mind me saying this, but if they have, if they start performing from next game onwards, like they did after the first lockdown, they'll be knocked out of the top four. They took the ball. I'd give them that. They're in now the league. Touch wood.
There's a lot of background noise.
Leicester won't be knocking. Their momentum won't be stopping due to outside things. Like I said, touch wood. It all depends. I think with Brendan's always missing something towards the end of a campaign. Like, he doesn't know how to keep it going. You saw it with Liverpool, again with Leicester. Celtic, it's the league that they're in, I think. It's a tough league. It is. And for Scottish football, it is a tough league. But you do know the powerhouses that are Rangers and Celtic will always win it. But there are still tough away games to go to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just a quick one. Rangers are 7 points away from winning the title after Celtic losing this evening.
So
I think that the job that Stephen Dunn's done there has been great. But we can talk about we'll do a section next week on Celtic and Rangers and the demise of Celtic. But I just wanted to say, from all Liverpool fans, go on, Stevie. Go on, Stevie.
Yeah, just a quick word. 7 points to win the title in February. That's incredible, isn't it? Incredible.
So no, going back to Leicester, I think Leicester should be in it. West Ham, I think it'll be between West Ham, Liverpool, Chelsea. Arsenal won't get top four for me. I think they've left themselves too much to do after their start.
Yeah.
They'll finish well, but I don't think they'll get top four. Spurs definitely won't get top four again. I hate saying this, but Everton are in for a shout.
Yeah, absolutely. Everton are in with a shout because of the manager. The manager they've got, they're organised. And they know how to win games. You know, I know some of the results haven't been good. Like they lost to Newcastle, for example, a few weeks ago.
They were poor that day.
They were very poor. They were very poor that day.
You want to say Newcastle were the better team that day?
Absolutely. And I think Everton do have a shout. Chelsea, you know, ever since they sacked Frank and they got Thomas Tuchel in, they do look a better side. So I think that decision might play in their favour, and they probably will finish in the top four, I think.
Okay, so then, and once again, as I'm leading all the questions, Mr. Lacani, who do you think are finishing top four? Starting from fourth to first, because I don't want to hear first right away.
Fourth... As I said before, I say Liverpool. I think Liverpool sneak fourth for me. Leicester finished third. Man United second and City first.
Okay. I'm going to give you a top seven.
No, we want top four, mate.
You know, okay. Look,
read the screen. It says race for top four, not race for seven. Mate.
I know. But because we have just been discussing the top nine. So I'm going to go top. I'm going to give you a top seven, which includes the top four. But I think it's relevant. It's context. Okay. Listen, Newcastle aren't going to be in that top seven. That doesn't mean we're going to discredit it. All right.
I mean, let's not talk about my bet for Newcastle finishing the top six.
No, I was going to mention what I thought you. I thought you might have mentioned what I'd asked a bet that I really spurred you. In fact, now go on. Why don't we tell everyone the bet that I spurred on to you?
All right, we've got time. I'll say it. So, before the first game of the season, we just signed Callum Wilson, right? With Ryan Fraser, we've got Saint-Maximin. We started to build on paper a fantastic, a good team. You know, a team that I thought would be full of attacking intent. And
what was the bet?
No, and in the first game. We watched together. We beat West Ham 2-0, and we played really well. And I'd said to me, "Guys, oh, you got to put a bet on them to finish in the top six. This Newcastle team look mustard, mate. They're going to finish top six." And I was like, "You're having me on, mate. It's not going to happen." And I don't know why, but I let him talk me into it. And I put £5 on Newcastle finishing the top six at 200-1. I think it was. So for anyone that doesn't bet. You know, that's what that means is if you put £5 on, you're going to lose £5.
when the term Newcastle, look, I thought you'd be doing better than you are. I never thought you'd get that, but it was just funny to spur you on because you got excited. But no, you have to be doing better. But
I think we should be top 10. I think we should be top 10 with that team.
We can discuss that. I mean, definitely, I do think as well. But my top four. Go on, I'll give you top four. No, actually, I'm going to do the top seven. I'm changing my mind. Top seven. Right. So, I think seventh are going to be...
Liverpool?
Everton.
Everton, okay.
Everton seventh. West Ham sixth. Liverpool fifth. Chelsea fourth. Leicester third. And we know the last two.
Yeah. So you think... You think Tottenham and Arsenal are, you know, eighth and ninth, tenth down there?
I think they'll probably stay around there, yeah. But
both missing out on European football, that could be big for both of them. It could be a blessing as well for a title run.
I think it'll be Spurs Spurs or Arsenal will get in the European League final against Rangers, I think. You heard it here first. Rangers to win Europa League.
Not a bad shout. So, yeah, that's what we think of race for top four. We'll obviously, touch on it each week. Let's move on to
for the last 5 minutes. Let's
last topic. So this could be a bit controversial, but after the midweek Champions League games, Lionel Messi's Barcelona got absolutely hammered at home 4-1 to.
I love how you say Lionel Messi's. I know we're discussing them. It's not. It's Ronald Koeman's Barcelona. This is the problem with Barcelona. They just
touching on Ronald Koeman. Did you see there was an old interview when he was at Everton that resurfaced? Have you seen it, Arch, on social media?
I haven't.
It's so I'll have to dig it out and I'll post it on the social so everyone can see.
Yeah,
he basically said, not everyone can be Barcelona and manage Messi.
He was absolutely right.
So yeah, he basically was given the impression that managing Barcelona and Messi was easy. So how's it going now, Ronald?
Exactly. Like you said, this week, Mbappe and Haaland, they have started to take over.
Yes. Are we now seeing that shift? We're seeing that shift from. We know Messi and Ronaldo are in the twilight of their career. That they're in the latter stages. There's rumours that Messi will leave Barcelona and go elsewhere. Whether it's Man City, whether it's MLS, it could be anywhere. We don't know until we get an announcement. He could even stay at Barcelona. I don't think he will because of he has a lot of grievances there. I don't think he likes Ronald Koeman. He's not really enjoying himself in that team at the moment.
So we're being told.
It's the impression we get.
It's the impression we get. We've got to be careful about this because, and I speak about this often. Whatever it seems like they look like on the pitch, that's all we get. Social media is obviously managed by management staff, but you're right. The reports that we're saying Messi isn't happy. Ronaldo is happy at Juventus, but he's only human. I think he's the better footballer out of Messi and Ronaldo. What do you think?
Who you think?
Ronaldo.
The way I see it is Ronaldo has done it in the Premier League for Man United. He's done it in the La Liga for Real Madrid, the same La Liga where Messi is, obviously. And he's now done it in Serie A with Juventus. He's done it in three of the biggest leagues in the world.
Wait, he won a European finals for his country whilst he was not the manager. He was on the side managing the team. He got injured and he said, was it Carlos Queiroz?
Yeah, I know it was.
They look similar, don't they?
They do.
No, so he. I'm actually just going to check who the manager was, because I don't usually get things wrong. Portugal, 2016. Was it 2016 they won it?
Yeah.
Right. So we have the national squad here. Right now, that's right now. Who was the manager? You know what? I'll check that out, and next week I will have the answer for you. But in the meantime, if you in this week find out who the manager is, please let me know. You have a whole week, and I'm sure
it's Fernando Santos.
There we go. We have the winner here, Aaron Lacani. Thank you for that winner. Ronaldo was for me. That sums him up as the ultimate competitor. The ultimate sportsman. He's the best sportsman I've ever seen in my life, and that's up against Michael Jordan. I think he's up. He's with Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And I know we're not. I know we're football, but Michael Jordan. I mean, and Ronaldo are the best sportsmen.
If we're gonna do that, I'm gonna have to put Tiger Woods up there as well.
Yeah. Well, we all understand your love for the golf. Yeah, you have to. I think you're right. You do have to.
For what he's done over 20, 30 years. But anyway, going back to Ronaldo, touching on the European Championships, actually, I read a article the other day. Do you remember who the scorer of Portugal's goal in extra time was?
I want to say Renato Sancho.
No. It was Eder, the striker.
Yeah, okay.
It wasn't a bad shout. They look very similar, very, very similar hairstyles.
Outside the box, that was. Not the goal. Pun intended.
I read an article where Eder plays for some obscure team now. But it was basically saying that he gets no recognition for winning them the championship. He gets no recognition for that goal. And he was saying that if it was Ronaldo who scored that goal or someone else, you know, it would be massive. But he gets there's no recognition for Eder.
For the fact that he's saying it, it sounds a bit scorned. And look, you've scored the goal. It's not about the shouting. I understand where he's coming from, but I mean, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah,
but look, we've run out of time here, so I'm going to ask you. Who will be the better? Who will win more in their careers? And no, I just want an answer. One word answer: Mbappe or Haaland? Not individual. Awards.
Team honors. Yeah, like Champions League, leagues. Yeah. It's tough, but I'm just going to stick it out there because I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah,
I like both, but the other one, Haaland for me.
It's Mbappe for me.
That's fair enough. I mean, it's a tough decision. They're both.
We can touch base in that and see at the end of the season who has won in their respective leagues.
Yeah, cool. So just before we finish, Hodge, and as I said, you know, we are transitioning into this Mbappe Haaland era because, for example, since the start of the 1920 season. Cristiano Ronaldo has scored 8 Champions League goals. Lionel Messi has scored 7 Champions League goals. Haaland has scored 18 Champions League goals. And Mbappe, 10 Champions League goals. So you can see that the shift has already started.
That is quite a statistic.
Yeah, it's remarkable, that those figures. But what I want to ask you quickly is, at this moment in time, which other players out there would you mention in the same breath as your Mbappes, your Haaland, your Messi, Ronaldo, that are there at this moment or have the potential to be there?
Mohamed Salah.
I knew you were going to say that. I don't agree with that.
You can't not what his records and his goals and what he's doing in his own personal career at Liverpool. Mohamed Salah. You have to at City. You got Kevin De Bruyne, and
for me, De Bruyne is up there. He's one of the best.
And you have Neymar. I mean, there's them three for me. Salah is also in that though.
I think you're right in Neymar and De Bruyne. I don't tend to agree with Salah only because I don't like the selfishness of his play. But anyway. His record speaks for itself, and I do get why you'd mention him in the same breath. Fair enough. You know, guys, that was our first podcast.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was. I think we should have a jingle. I tell you what. I think for the next week we'll have a full time whistle when the time's up. How about that?
Yeah. You can sort the whistle at me.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I'll bring my whistle, and we'll call it that. Thank you to we're going to get this out there, and thank you all for supporting. I hope you like the content. If there's anything you'd like us to mention, or for anything you think that can make us better, or if you just liked what we're doing and like our idea, please reach out to us. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram at the OTT Pod.
So you'll be able to find this podcast on all major podcasting sites like Spotify, Apple Music, Google Music, All the major ones. You'll be able to find us on the Terraces podcast. Also, if you go to the Aaron Lacani sports blog, it'll be on there. So aaronlacani.co.uk. But if you just go, find us on Instagram and Twitter, you'll be able to find all the links from there. And yeah, just let us know what you think.
Thank you all.
All right, cheers, Arch. See you later, mate.
Let's hope our teams do better next week. Catch you next week, Aaron.
Take care. See you later, mate. Bye.